I have got two wonderful sons, Joshua and Nathan, and sons and daughters are a heritage from God. They are a blessing, and they are called to be mighty for God. They're called to be godly offspring. They're called to make a difference in their generation. So thank God for the mothers that we have, and thank God for the gift from He gives us children, physical or spiritual. Okay, so this men, I don't want you to switch off, okay? And anybody that isn't yet a mother, don't switch off. Please don't switch off. This has got hopefully something for everyone. So before I want to start, I just want to just pray a wee sec. Father God, here I am. Just use me somehow, Lord.
Yes.
Let my words be from your heart, Lord. Just blow away the chaff, Lord God, and let what you want to say come. Get my mind. Take my mind, take my lips, they're yours, Lord God, and just use us, let us draw closer to you and know your presence this morning. It's all about you, King Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So first of all, just thank you for Marita and Melvin for the privilege of coming up here this morning, and it is an honour. The title today is, Can You Hold On to God's Promises in Tough Times? Hands up anyone that hasn't had any tough times. What? You've never had any tough times? Okay, so not everybody here knows me. So my name's Esther, and my roots are in Northern Ireland in Belfast. And so just in case anybody doesn't know, that's part of the UK, and you might not know from my accent, but Belfast. So listen, I like a little bit of show and tell, all right? So can I do a little bit of boasting about Belfast? Is that all right? Maybe you want to go there, wet your appetites for going there, is that all right? So Belfast had a baby that was very, very big. 52 tons about, 296 meters long, much fanned, much anticipated, much celebrated, the biggest baby of her time. Would you like to see a wee replica that we Dudley's made for her?
Okay. Yes. Yes, yes.
Oh no! Whoopsie, somebody's got damage on transit. We'll have to do a wee repair job when we get home. There's meant to be four of them, so one of them's in the bag. Who knows what this is called?
Titanic.
The Titanic was amazing. Oh, by the way, this is fresh out of Harland and Wolfe's birthplace, okay? It's not painted yet or decorated, it's just fresh out. And that's a bit like what we're like when we come into the world, we're just fresh out. The babies that we have given, they're fresh out, they've got no imprints on them yet, all right? But they've got a role, they've got a purpose. They're planned in detail, in advance, by God. They're treasured and they're celebrated and they're anticipated by God. So it's got something in here for all of us, okay? So I know what you're going to say. Titanic ended up in a bit of a pickle, to say the least, all right? They were going too fast, right? There were icebergs. They weren't really watchful enough. They thought, this ship is the best thing since sliced bread. It's not going to sink. We don't think it's going to sink. And lo and behold, bang, into an iceberg. Uh-oh, they hadn't made enough preparations for when things go wrong. And things did go very wrong. But anyway, so that's not why I'm here to talk to you about today. And I want to say, first of all, there's a crew on the Titanic. And can you imagine, it's the bee's knees of ships. And you've got a job. I've got a job on the Titanic, woohoo! It doesn't matter if it's cleaning the toilets or general maintenance, doesn't matter. I could put on my CV, worked on the Titanic, woohoo! So everybody had different roles. Everyone had different positions, and everyone had different personalities. One team, one captain. If they followed what the captain said, things were going smoothly. But there were very clear roles and plans for each of them. Can we look just at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 14, to see where we're getting this from in the Bible? It's talking about the virtuous wife. And men, don't switch off, please. Okay? She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. Now, the Titanic's plan was for a long-haul voyage, like all the way from the UK to America. So it wasn't just a wee trip across from Scotland up to Ireland, okay? So a ship is a bit like an A made memoir. Jesus loved to talk in parables and put things in people's minds that they could focus on. So today I've got a ship in your mind just to focus on, all right? And we can talk about men are like also and women. We're all like the bride of Christ. So it's all relevant to us, okay? So, and with the children, there's a long home journey ahead, isn't there? You know, you get them and you think, yeah, I've got a baby. Oh no, what do I do? What do I do? You know, this baby's unique. There's no book been written for this baby, except God knows it, but we don't necessarily know it. So it's, and when we start off, it feels a bit daunting, doesn't it? But God says that he's given us some aims in mind, godly offspring. He wants us to have godly offspring. He wants us to train the child in the way they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from it. So, can you have the next slide, please? At the back of a ship, there's a rudder. All right, the rudder isn't that big in comparison to the big ship, right? But you see, if you've got a big ship, what turns the ship is the rudder. So the first thing you have to do with the rudder is to turn it, all right? Nothing seems to happen for ages and ages. And it goes against the flow that you have at the moment of the water. And then eventually the ship turns round. Our words, it says like, take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. What I want to say today is that the tongue doesn't have to be used like a spark to make a fire and cause destruction. We can choose life. We can speak life with our tongue, and it can impact the way our children's life goes. Because for a while they're with us on the ship before they go out on their own. Isn't that right? So we've got to be really careful with our use of words. They're meant to encourage, to build up, to call out the gold of our children. Ask God, what's the gold in my child? Don't just call out the dirt all the time. Rub stuff out, don't highlight it. Forget about the past, forget about the mistakes. Do you know it? In the Bible it says our tongue is like a pen of a ready writer. So if we speak out God's word, we're writing it on our hearts and we're writing it on their hearts.
Amen.
And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And he calls us to call things that are not. So if you see an apple tree, right? You're thinking eating apples, aren't you, at the end of it. If you get an apple part of the way through and you try and bite it, it's not quite right, is it? No? Well, we're all in process, aren't we? And our kids are in process. So don't, it's just, write the vision down, though it lingers and tarries, you wait for it. So just wait, see the long-term picture. See that God has specially planned our kids and that he has a special destiny for them. And don't be discouraged by the fact that sometimes along the way there's some storms and some bumps and things don't necessarily always look how you want it to look. So, can we go on to the next verse, please? Okay, God says, he's got an anchor. God's talking about books in the Bible still, and our anchor is hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. So the verse before that tells us what the secret is. The hope that is our secret is, listen to this. Okay, everyone's listening. It is impossible for God to lie. How good is that? That is good news. No matter where your children are right now, he's watching over his word to fulfill it. Their end will be better than their beginning if we hold on and don't let go to the anchor. It's an anchor for our souls, which means when things get difficult, we grab a hold of God's word of hope, and then we can just feel that peace again coming back. Am I talking too loudly? Okay, can we have the next slide up, please? Okay, so the next thing we have on the ship is, hold on, let me get it. Let's go sit. Show and tell. Where is it? Let's go with it. It's a compass. Who's, in the old days, ships needed compasses, didn't they?
No.
I'm not plugged in. How about that?
Yeah.
You get a bit of peace. Okay. So God says you've got a compass. All right. The compass always points to north. We can tell where north is. So even in a, if there's fog, we get a compass. If there's a storm, we get a compass. If we can't see land, we get a compass. So God says we've got a compass here. We've got something to fix our eyes on. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it goes on to say, you do likewise. You for the joy set before you, don't worry about the bad stuff that goes on. Focus on the goal. Focus on Jesus. Get your eyes off your problems and onto God. One good way is worship. One good way is worship and say, God, you are so amazing. I magnify you. You're so powerful. Nothing's too hard for you. Thank you for your promises. I'm not going to focus on my problems. They may look big, but God's bigger. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to get his wisdom for the journey. I'm going to get encouragement. I'm going to strengthen myself in his word. As we shift our gaze from the problems, it changes our perspective. It changes our perspective. Just like Peter when he was walking on the water, when he started to look down and get all upset by the waves, he started to sink. Well, if we get bothered by what we see, we start to sink. And what we're going to do is refocus, shift our gaze. I am weak, he is strong. And we ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. So the next slide, please. Okay. What have we got here now? Okay. Binoculars. The thing about it is, in the old days, they needed lookouts. And clearly, the lookouts in the Titanic's time weren't doing a very good job, were they?
No.
Because they came out proper, right? So, icebergs are sometimes seen and sometimes hidden. We can't always know what the hazards are going to be for our children. Isn't that right? Yeah? So what does it say here? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same sufferings. So we've got to stay awake. If the Titanic had been more watchful, things might have been different. If they'd slowed down and didn't go so fast, that might have been different. If we slow down and quieten ourselves, and maybe listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe he'll warn us about some of the problems ahead. If we slow down and say, God, I need what's written in your word. If you've got warnings in there, I'm going to listen. You know, and it also says, resist the devil. We do that by our mouth. When Jesus got tempted, he said, it is written, devil, it's written.
Yeah.
It's impossible for God to lie. I've got his will in writing. So that's our way of, but we've got to be watchful and alert and cover our children with prayer. Cover our children with prayer. So what's the next one, please? Right, okay. So on a journey, you need food, right? If you leave the food on the shelf, it's not going to do you any good at all. Or no good. You'll be as weak as water and you might die. In fact, you will die if it's a long journey, right? Well, it's the same. God's given us what we need for the journey. But if you leave it on the shelf, what good is it? If you say, I'll just maybe once a week I'll have a wee peck or something at church, that's not enough. We need it every day. God's word is like our bread. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We still have a cockroach in our house. Hands up to the mums that haven't got their children on brown bread yet, okay? So, we need it daily or we get weak, okay? And the problem with that is, instead of being the head like God wants us to be, we'll be the tail. You know, a tail follows a dog around, doesn't it? Yeah? Well, likewise, if we're not strong on the inside, we get swayed by the emotions and by the circumstances, and we get, you know, we're not the head, we're just like, oh, that's a terrible situation, we go down. God wants us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and saying, sit down, no, just not letting you off on this. This is not the end. God has a destiny for my child. Yeah, they will see that. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. My children will be mighty in the Lord. So, here, it doesn't talk about bread in this particular verse, but anyway. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Now there's a bit of wisdom for us, isn't it? God's words are really good, and they satisfy us. And they give us wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, therefore we hate every wrong path. We've got to be careful how we walk in life and what we do in life. It's not just our words. So, if you go down to the belly of the ship, okay, that's where the provisions are kept, the promises are kept. So just like I took you back to my roots, which was Belfast, I'm going to take you back to the roots of our faith, which is Abraham. We started off being called Abraham. Can we have the next passage up, please? So, just a little bit of background from Genesis 11, just the beginning of the Bible. Abraham's dad was called Terah. Now, Terah left his original country of the Ur of Chaldees, and he was going to go to Canaan, but he stopped halfway. He stopped and he settled. So that's a bit of background, all right? So what's it say? The Lord, now listen, this is the God of all creation coming to speak to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we have actually got blessed through this guy, Abraham, okay? And that was his call. He was called by God himself. It was a costly call. He had to leave his country. He had to leave his people. He had to leave his father's house. Everything that was familiar to him, he had to go. And think about it, God calls us. God calls us. We're each on a separate individual journey. We've all got different journeys. Nobody's ever done our journey before. We're totally unique. And God calls us to launch away, like the Titanic, launch out into the deep and follow his leading. Like, we don't know where we're going in the future, but God does. You know, like, I mean, Abraham, I mean, like, nobody'd ever done this before. He was called, go, you go, I'll show you. Well, that's pretty hard. He's got a lot of people depending on him, and he's still having to go. So anyway, that was the first promise. But it was quite hard for Abraham, to get a grasp of this. Because do you know what? What age was he? 75, right? And his wife was 65. Who knows that that's a wee bit late for starting a family, isn't it? Sarai was his wife. She was gorgeous. But her biological clock had stopped ticking a while ago. So it was a bit hard to get his head around it. So God kept coming back with promises, and then he says, I think he needs to see something to help him to get a grasp of it. He says, have a look at the dust out there. Can you count it? No way. God says, that's how many your offspring's going to be. Abraham's still a little bit slow to get a hang of it. And then he says, look at the stars. There's so many, can you count them? No way. That's how many your offspring's gonna be. God, this is impossible. All I've got is like, there's Eliezer, he's not even from me. That's guy, anybody that can inherit stuff from him. What are you talking about? And God says, no, it's going to be from you. Well, he and Sarai thought, we better help God out. Because time was going on and on and on and on. And there was no baby. No baby. So they thought they'd help God out and made a big mess of it. Sarai's servant girl, Hagar, was a surrogate, and that caused lots of problems. But you know what? God was still prepared to keep his promise, even though they made a mess, even though they were slow to believe. Then God thought, right, I've got an idea. Let's get them to use this rudder that they've got, this tongue that they've got. I'm going to change their names. I'm going to call Abraham. I'm going to call Sarai, Sarah. So every time the conversation would go like this, that Abraham means father of nations, and Sarah means princess, mother of nations. So every time they were chatting, it was like, Abraham, father of many nations, can you come over here? Yes, Sarah, mother of many nations, I'm coming. So they were speaking out again and again, God's will. Wish they couldn't see you. They couldn't see you. 25 years went by. Who knows that you need a miracle at that point? 100 was his age, 90 was her age. Never ever happened before. But God had the last laugh. And along came Isaac. And they called him, he laughs. Can you believe it? The age of 100, that God would bring along this beautiful baby into their lives. And Sarah said, everyone who hears about this is going to rejoice with me. So the end of the story was, they had all this heartache of not having a child. God brought them joy. And God credited everything as righteousness because they believed him. They believed his impossible promise. So he called things that are not as though they are. I am Abraham, father of many nations. I am Sarah, mother of many nations. Can we have the next passage up? This is how he coped with an impossible promise. So let's just read this. And it's Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. And this is really practical for us as well. Good advice. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So the thing about it is, thank you very much. That's my amazing son. So the thing about it is, when we are starting to lose hope, we can remember Abraham, and we can just say, against all hope, I'm going to in hope believe. I'm going to in hope believe God is faithful to his promises. I'm going to strengthen myself in the truth. I'm going to stand strong, and there's nothing too hard for God. So that's the plumb line to come back to when we feel overwhelmed and things aren't going according to plan. And it's just so beautiful how God does not disqualify us because of our mistakes. How good is that? Because Abraham and Sarah, I haven't told you all their mistakes. If you want to read about them, read the first few chapters from chapter 12 onwards of Genesis, and you'll read some of the mistakes they made, some big ones. But God still said, I'm going to keep my promise to you. So now let's look at ourselves now. Can we have the next verse, please? Okay, this is Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. This is what the Lord says. He who made you in the womb, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, do not be afraid, Jacob my servant, Jeshurun whom I have chosen. Same for us. We don't need to be afraid. That's his promise to us. He made us. And then it goes on, I will pour out my water on the thirsty ground and streams on the dry ground. Listen to this. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring. How's that for a promise? Amen to that. I'm having that. And my blessing on your descendants. And they, my descendants, will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees, standing strong by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. And others will write in their hand the Lord's and will take the name Israel. My kids belong to God.
Amen.
My kids belong to God.
Amen.
Can we have the next one, please? Isaiah 54, verse 13. Listen, this for a promise. How's this a good one? All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. That does not excuse us from not doing any teaching of our kids, by the way. Okay? So, can we move to Psalm 128? Psalm 128? Have I got that wrong?
No,
is it Psalm 128? Okay, this is the whole thing, so. Okay, it's so good. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. Now that means total awe and reverence and putting him in the highest place, all right? Who walk in obedience to him, because Abraham had to obey. You will eat the fruit of your labors, guys. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. They're going to thrive. Our children are going to thrive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, this will be the blessing for the person that fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel.
Amen.
Right, so hold on up. You still with me, guys?
Yes!
Right. So we're going to move on to the last kind of section. Just a little bit more about the tools that God gives us for life. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, so that's a good starting point. If we want, we need God's help to bring up our kids. We need God's help for all of our life. So our starting point is say, God, we need you. We want you in our life. We want you to be the captain. We want you to be the boss. We surrender everything to you. You know best. Teach us. Teach us your ways. And also, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 is really key. The tongue, the rudder, has the power of life and death. So we have to speak life, because otherwise it says we will eat the fruit of what we say. What we say today determines our tomorrows. So we have to speak life and in line with what God says, his truth, so that we can then inherit through faith and patience his promises. Patience is important. We've got to be prepared to wait, okay? Another verse about hope is, I love this one. May the God, this is Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of all hope fill you and me with joy and peace as you trust in him. Trust in him. And may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we choose to trust in God, he gives us his joy. He gives us his peace. And the hope can arise again. We just have to reset our gaze. Psalm 34, verse 5 says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. It's so good. God is bigger than our mistakes. He covers over them.
Mm-hmm.
He can make the wrong things right. We don't have to be perfect as mom. We can ditch that label of failure, because it's Christ within us, the hope of glory. Sorry. God, Abraham heard God's call to leave the old ways behind and follow him. God calls out to each of us to leave the past behind, to look to the cross where Jesus died for us, taking the punishment for our sin and shame so that we could go free. When we're thinking about the enemy and his plans, God's also said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. so easy to get frightened when your kids are off the rails. So easy to get frightened when they're not going in the right direction. But we could just say, no, I choose not to partner with fear in the name of Jesus, because God is with me. He is leading me. He's the captain. We're on an adventure, like Abraham, with a miracle-working God. Okay? In John chapter 15, again, this is about food for the voyage. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So this is really key. Jesus, I welcome your presence. I need your presence. Help me to dwell in you. And not to jump ship. Don't jump ship when things get tough and give up. Don't do it. Because if Abraham had given up, like, we may never have had what we've got now. So when answers to prayer are delayed, or where seeing promises fulfilled are delayed, remember Abraham. So finally, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, God says, I am the Lord your God. Is anything too hard for me? Choose to believe God and his promises and watch this space.
Amen. Amen.